When something happens to your kitchen, you might say,
"This is ludicrous."
But that won't fix your home. That will only get you the rapper, Ludacris.
Having trouble? Don't panic. Don't be alarmed. You need to file a claim? Holla at State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
That's right. You can file a claim on the app or call us.
Thanks, Mr. Chris.
No matter how ludicrous the situation, like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
State Farm, Bloomington, Illinois.
There's no purpose in teaching anybody who don't really want to learn, who really don't want to get to it. Everybody want to play entrepreneur. They don't want the sacrifice that come with this shit.
Truly. Late nights, early mornings.
You're going to lose friends, lose girlfriends, family going to call you crazy, not going to believe in you, then you make it, and then everybody going to be like, I'm proud of you, let me get some money.
What I've realized that wealthy people understand, and people in general, is the small concepts that you can apply to get wealthy. You don't gotta be super smart and gotta know all the intricacies of real estate or taxes or e-commerce or whatever, trucking, whatever it is.
It's good if you wanna be rich in that business, but you don't need to know that.
You don't need to know everything. You just need to know small, basic concepts. Mm-hmm. And one of the smallest basic concepts that anybody can understand is get money, buy income. Get money, buy more money.
I woke up feeling wealthy today. My bank account might not agree, but hey, that shit on the way. Me and my niggas laying brick on top of brick till we straight. If you the type that play the victim, you can't come in my space. You know this game ain't for the weak, it's hard to carry this weight. I keep my balance through the ups and downs, I'm never gonna break. You feel the purpose in my spirit when you look in my face. Cause this ain't a second, I can waste something food on place.
What's good with it, wealthy people? Your boy, David Bellard. One of the leaders, the followers, the movement, all that shit with the Black Wealth Renaissance, man. You already know how it's coming. You already know how it's going. The often imitated, never duplicated Black Wealth Renaissance podcast.
It's a lot of attempts.
You know, we here, man. Season 4 has been going crazy. It's been an amazing time so far. And we got another great installment for y'all coming up. I'm here with my brother from another. Mr. Killing Them, Mr. Make Them Seasick with the Waves, my brother Jalen Clark.
What's up, y'all? It's your boy Jalen, man. Another part of the Black Wealth Renaissance podcast. I'm feeling great, dog. Flew back yesterday. I've been missing the city. It's hot as hell out here, though. Yeah. So, you know, you got to dress accordingly. You see me in the shorts and the shirt because it's hot. Can't be wearing these pants and shit right now in Texas, dog.
It is hot in the mug. Yeah, I wouldn't have no long sleeve on. My dumb ass, I wouldn't get poison ivy this week.
Oh, I got to watch how I touch you. I forgot about that.
Especially on my couch.
It ain't contagious like that. I was out here trying to do some country stuff, cut down some trees.
I mean, I wouldn't even call that country. I'd call that more yard work, more manly, you know.
Doing a little yard work. I forgot that I'm allergic to the shit. We good.
I think everybody's allergic to it.
Nah, not everybody is.
Okay, I feel like we need to intro me.
Yeah, this guy.
We're gonna get to you.
Yeah, but yeah, man, it's good to see you. Good to have you back in Dallas, bro.
Appreciate it.
Definitely good to have you back in Dallas. And as always, y'all, thank y'all for tuning in and tapping into the podcast. We got another very special episode, long awaited, highly anticipated.
Yes.
You already know. This is a brother we met about a year ago, a little over a year ago now at this point.
Probably about a year and 7 days now.
Not exact. Okay.
Man, real. But we met him through one of our mutual friends, our brother Reggie.
Reggie, fuck you for introducing us to this guy. I like.
Is that a bleep button? Because it's just rude. Go ahead.
Whoa.
I know. It's just rude.
But nah, man, our brother Reggie introduced us to this brother. And when we first met him, man. We got introduced. He was like, yeah, bro, this man, he done events for the Super Bowl. He done
Grammys.
Like Fashion Week. All these things. Like
Jazz Fest.
And I'm like, who is this brother? Where y'all met him at? Where you found this guy? So we got tapped in. We started talking with him. And then, man, over the past years, grown into like a real organic friendship, a brotherhood. None other
brothership.
Than a brothership. None other than our guy, man. The senior lead event,
senior event producer,
Get it right. Surforth Enterprises.
There we go.
Mr. Surforth himself, William Haggins.
Sir William Haggins the fourth. Good to meet you. And this is the wonderful home of mine that you guys failed to mention that your location is at. So typically, you guys have it at other locations. Yeah, it's nice.
We a traveling podcast,
but
man.
Not as nice. So we want to make sure that we highlight the niceness. So hopefully you do a pan of my living room to show how great it is and how... but I also can hook that up, too. I have a feed for my interior design as well. So if you guys want to know about that, it's a different podcast for the interior design part. Because it's, you don't get this type of look just from any old thing. This ain't Art Van furniture. This ain't IKEA furniture. This ain't... shout out to them, though, if they would do a sponsorship deal. But that's not what this is. This is homegrown talent.
Full disclosure, this podcast is about to be a little ignorant. I want y'all to understand this.
I'm drinking water, so that's my thing, by the way.
Ask him what he was drinking before the water.
Yes, I'm in my home, so just, yes, it would be good.
But yeah, we would like to say thank you, appreciate you for opening up your home to us, your wonderful estate to us.
We'll wait till the invoice clear for the rental fee, and it would be good. I
appreciate it. It would be
good. Yes, sir.
Yes. But it's been long overdue. It's been, you know, we've talked about it for many, many months about me coming on, and I'm happy that we finally be able to do this. Perfect timing, you know, and all that. So
we got some great stuff in the works. We're working on things coming down the line. We got the Black Men Summit coming up, but we'll get to more of that stuff later.
Yeah, so, and then a very right special now, Will, announcement.
Man, everybody, they probably want to like, man, who the hell is this brother?
And why the hell we got this nigga on?
Yeah, like, so we just want to go back and do it how we do it, everybody, man. Just giving you a brief introduction to who you are in your own words.
Okay. So my name is Sir Will Haggins IV. So I started in this event business about 10 years ago. I'm celebrating 10 years of business, July something. I forgot the date, to be honest. Thank you. Started as a kid who my mother was a corporate event planner. So I started in this industry growing up in it. Did the corporate route. Used to be in banking. I worked my way up to the original branch manager with PNC Bank before I peaced out and quit because I got to the point, I was 25, I was the youngest. I got to that point, but they were definitely wanting me to be white male, older white male, but I was me. Mm-hmm. I couldn't wear the, I mean, I have a conversation really to be like, can you just wear a red suit? I mean, excuse me, a black suit or a blue suit with a red tie. And I'm like, no, that's not how I dress. I'm gonna wear this olive suit. I'm gonna wear this burnt orange. I'm gonna wear this, you know, whatever. Express was my stuff back then. So I used to always wear the type of stuff. So I ended up just venturing out and quitting and then moved to Texas the first time I was here, moved to Dallas, started doing some small events, ended up working with Jerry Jones. Jerry Jones put me in contact with the NFL, and then from there it just kind of took off. So that's in a nutshell like my story as of who I am. I'm not a big social media person, so I would say like follow me at whatever, but I'm not a big social media person. But I do have a social media, but I pick and choose who I allow, and I unfollow people all the time. But so my social media is Sir4th, S-I-R, the number 4, O-U-R-T-H.
Yeah. So, let's dive into it, bro. So, I didn't know that your mom was in a corporate event.
I didn't know that either.
Yeah, that was one of
you don't
my
ask
first,
questions.
That's one of the first. I was saving it for the podcast, brother. I like to be genuinely.
Some stuff got to be organic, man. Yeah,
I like to be genuinely. Like, these are questions that I want to know. So, okay, you grew up in a household. Your mom was a corporate event planner. Tell me, what does that transition look like from you leaving banking to going into doing your own thing in the events world?
I'm trying to connect how you with my mother. Would you go back?
So your mom was an event planner.
Yeah.
You
went the corporate route.
Went the corporate route
because I didn't see the money in event producing when she was doing it. Okay. So that's the reason why I went to corporate and then went to college.
So what you mean by that? What you mean?
So
you didn't
a lot of times in this industry, that's why I went on my own, because corporations were trying to hire you to do 100 and something events for the year and pay you $40,000. Mm-hmm. And that wasn't what I was into. So it wasn't the money. Being a employee of a company doing events, there's no money in that.
Mm-hmm. So that's what your mom was doing. She was employed by the company.
She was employed by the company.
Just doing the events.
Right. So I didn't see the money. She also had her own event company too, but she didn't know how to. And she always say, nah, she wish I was older back then when she was doing it, because she probably would have still stayed in it and took it a lot further. because mm-hmm. of what I command now, she never thought that she could get mm-hmm. back then. I think a lot of times that's what just with Black people in general, we're afraid to name our price. Mm-hmm. Like I say, and I know that I'm worth what I choose because of my experiences prove it. So I think that's the difference. So that's why I didn't go that route. But then when I got out of that, out of corporate, again, my first job, I made a really good salary first.
Let's talk about it. Put the numbers out. I would like to hear it.
So first job out of college, it was in the 90s, my first job out of college. So like I said, again, to be 21, I made the type of money, you can tell me nothing. Mm-hmm. And it was like, okay, I'm making this type of money, so I need to make sure that I continue to make the type of money. So I definitely had like when I quit, I started my company and I had money saved up, right? So I started my company. Remember my launch party was over the top. I spent like $37,000 on a launch company
before I had any clients,
before I had anything. And then the people who know who went, it was a nice party. So I had a live band. I had a live band. I love a live band. Live band karaoke as well, which is pretty cool. I had caricatures. I had open bar. It was a really nice venue. That's in Michigan. I'm from Michigan originally. So yeah, it was just a really, really good first event. I spent about $30,000 on it. Because in my mind, I had the money and I was like, so if I do a great event, the clients will come.
At State Farm, we're committed to uplifting Black futures. In collaboration with organizations like 100 Black Men and National Urban League, State Farm provides high school students with the opportunity to learn and apply best practice strategies for saving and investing, all while offering academic support, life skills, and exposure to college access programs to prepare these students for life after high school. Check out 100blackmen.org and nul.org to donate and learn more. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Hey there, ever thought about what makes your heart beat a little faster?
Oh, you mean like when you discover a new track that just speaks to you?
Yeah, or finding a movie that you can't stop thinking about? Well, get ready to feel that excitement all over again because Amazon Prime is here to take your entertainment and shopping experience to the next level.
Absolutely. Prime isn't just about getting your packages quicker. It's about diving into a world of endless possibilities, from the latest releases to exclusive content you won't find anywhere else.
And don't even get me started on the music. Prime offers concert specials that will transport you right to the front row. It's like being at the hottest gigs without leaving your living room.
I use Prime to tap in with some of my favorite artists' live shows from any and every genre of music.
Trust me, Prime is a game changer. It's like having a personalized superstore and entertainment hub right at your fingertips.
So why wait? Head over to Amazon.com/Prime and start experiencing entertainment like never before.
Okay, so
it didn't happen that way. Go ahead.
That's exactly what I was about to ask you next. So it did happen. You spent $30,000 to, because we get into this transition, right? You climb the corporate ladder, realize I don't want to do this. I spent $30,000 on a party. What was the return in investment on that part?
I think it was zero. I feel like it was zero. But, no. So I met from that party, I think one of the person who, my mom did a really great job of inviting people to this party. Like, she was so outside the box when it comes to inviting people. Like, again, this is, I want to say before social media. Social media was out there. I'm a little older. But she was real good with, like, connecting with different organizations and, you know, like, through meetups, stuff like that. Not just worried about one group, bringing big groups to come. So I think there was, from that, I think I ended up booking an event for World's AIDS Day in Detroit. That was the first, like, event they was having that year. Mm-hmm. So I think I booked that from, they came to the party, and then I ended up booking that event from that. So I think something did come from that. But I don't even think I made that much. That's so long ago. I don't think I made a lot of money.
So if you could go back, would you funnel that $30,000 into other areas of the business, or do you not regret it at all?
I don't regret anything that I did. No, I don't regret nothing. So everything was a learning experience, mm-hmm. and you know, sad. We had a good time. So
I know that's one thing you all do.
And I, like, from an event perspective, I make memories and experiences. So anything I do is going to make sure that you remember it. People, when I post pictures recently about it, because it's celebrating 10 years, people, oh yeah, I remember that. It's a lot of shit, a lot of stuff that I go to that.
You can curse too.
Oh, this so is a cursing one. Okay.
You yeah. got that little E next to all eyes.
Okay,
shit.
Got you. So a lot of stuff that I go to that people don't remember. And I go to a lot of events, you know, so all the time being in this industry, and they all kind of look and feel the same. So when I do mine, it's always great that people remember 10 years later, oh, you had a bomb ass, you know, saying party, you know, launch party. And it was, we had a good time. So I don't regret spending the money.
So, okay, let's move a little bit forward. So you said your first event from that was the World AIDS?
World AIDS Day, yeah.
Was that your first event that you've done for the, like, your personal company?
For my own company, correct.
What did you learn
from? No, it wasn't. It wasn't that.
What was the first?
My first event was a walk. It was a, oh, it's part of, so I did a, it was a whole, World AIDS Day Detroit had brought me on, hired me. Was bring it back. It's 10 years ago. Try to think about it. So they hired me. So it was a walk first. Then it was the gala on World's AIDS Day. So the walk was like in, I think, like June, July, something mm-hmm. like that. And then the actual World's AIDS Day is December 1st.
So prior to that, what was your event experience? Was it solely with your mom?
Yeah, mm-hmm. with my mom solely.
So what does that look like to say, okay, I understand events and I can do this. What's some of the fundamental things that you have to think about when putting on a successful event?
So number one, anything to do events is like project management. It's all the same stuff. So be able to juggle, you know, send the project and make sure that every single layer hits. So I'm naturally OCD. That's just who I am. And I'm very detailed, all that, and like in time management, just managerial skills, all this stuff has been me anyway. So I've always been very keen on that. So growing up in this industry, I get how people think parties and events are just so easy to throw. Yes, at your, you know, $2 level, 100%, it's easy to throw. You know, saying Shaquanda baby shower or whatever. Shout out to Shaquanda. But at that level, yes, it's easy. But when it gets to corporate level, and when it's these large moving pieces, there's a lot of stuff to go to it, as well as like festivals, stuff like that. There's a lot of stuff to go to it.
So now it kind of goes into kind of what I was thinking about. You spent the money on the initial launch party in hopes of getting clients.
Yes.
So how did you land your first client, being that that wasn't what you thought it was going to be?
I think when they came to the event, I think they had such a good time from the event. I think they saw the experience from, again, a launch party. I'm starting a company. This is a launch and I'm spending all this. And it's like, it was a fun event. It was a super fun event. So I think from there, it was kind of like, okay, cool. We can, you know, book you. And I'm not going to lie that I may have said I've done a bunch of other stuff prior. Probably. You know, say that I...
you fluffed it up.
Had to add a little essence
that, even though it's my launch party, well, we got a client, you know what I'm saying? I didn't have no clients. But, you know what I'm saying? But I knew that I could rise to the occasion. So I'm like, you know, because again, I grew up in this industry. I grew up with mama's literally, it's like she put me to work. So it was like, all right, we can do this.
So what does that event look like? What did you have to do? Did you have to assemble a team to get this accomplished?
Yeah. So I remember my first one, the walk, I reached out to like everybody who I was cool with, you know what I'm saying? Because I want to make sure I had more bodies than I needed. So I reached out to everybody who I was cool with and I was like, hey, could you volunteer? And I put like Go Forth shirts on everybody because I had a brand at that time, Go Forth. You know, anytime I use my fourth, I'm going to use it. so everybody, it probably was like 40 people that ended up supporting me for that walk. And it was deep. It was real deep. So and then that transpired to the actual event. I remember the event, it's so long ago, but I remember we had a venue. And then the day before the venue, and I'm looking down because I remember, something happened with the venue that we didn't have a venue. Something happened with the actual venue itself. Like they ran out of power or it was something that happened. It was December in Detroit. So I don't even know what happened, but I remember I had to take it and use it at a parking garage. I had to move the event from inside in December in Detroit to an actual parking lot, a parking garage.
Like a parking garage in the elements?
In the elements.
Oh, no.
So I remember it was like, that's what like, I knew I was built for this because events is all about problem solving. Mm-hmm. Like I say, either, and
shit not going to go the way you think
it's not. And it's crazy because all the different events that I've done, and I see these, Caucasian women who get these high contracts and then they crumble under pressure all the time. And I'm sitting there watching them as they in the corner crying because this ain't going right, that going right. That's going wrong, that's going wrong. And it's like, how'd you get this contract? Because like we doing with such big stuff, it's like you have to be prepared for, you know what I'm saying, what's next. You have to really be on your feet. That can go wrong. What's plan, you know what I'm saying, what's plan B real quick. So I remember the day before I got told, you know, somewhere at the venue that I'm like, okay, well, it's too last minute to do something. Like, we got a parking garage. I said, fuck it. Let's do it at the parking garage. And it was like, how are you going to do it in the parking garage? We're going to figure this out. So I put plastic, you know, parking garages have that open part.
Tarp.
Yeah, the tarp around it to make the elements. Then I got these torpedo heaters, you know what I'm saying, there. And then the companies that I use for vendors and all that. It turned out, which, like, y'all show pictures of stuff, whatever. But it turned out,
man,
super
you
dope.
Send us the pictures. We'll get my man E.
Inserting the pictures in there. Yeah. It turned out super dope. And it was so different. And I think that's where, like, launched me in that creative space. Like, okay, everything got to go the right way. But as long as you quick and think on your feet, you can make it happen. So, yeah.
That's a key thing right there. It's just not even just in events. That's an entrepreneur.
That's just period. Solving. Like, so yeah, problem solving is key because everything, just life. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? It's like, that's just, you have to be able to problem solve. Either you're going to ball up in a corner and be pissed off and crying and depressed, or you're going to figure out a way how to pivot. And that's what I did. I pivot. I'm like, okay, this is the, because I easily could have canceled. It could have been like that. But I reached out to the vendors like, hey, I'm going to need more stuff from you. I ain't got no money. You know, so the budget is gone. We only had, you know, we have a regular space. You don't need that much stuff because it's already built in. But now we outside. But the vendors were cool. They was like, you know what? We're going to work with you. You know what I'm saying? That's what I've developed, the same relationships from that vendor 10 years ago. And when I go to Detroit, I still use the same vendors when I do events. So that part of relationship building is important too.
I'm glad you mentioned relationships. We're going to get into that a little bit later.
Put a pause. Yeah. Okay, remember that.
We're going to get into that later. So after, you know, you had to pivot and stuff, what was the actual client thinking whenever they figured out, you know, that, hey, we lost the original venue, and how did that moving forward, then, you know, it coming to fruition and it's still playing out? Do you still have that relationship with them?
No, I'm trying to think. That client was a young white dude, and I remember because we were actually, it was a lot of synergy and it was cool. That's why he gave me opportunity because, and I'll be honest with a bunch of people, like, all my opportunities came from white people. At the beginning of my career,
you told us that before.
100%. Like I said, I'm not that person that's anti, you know what I'm saying, white, because, like, in my corporate ladder, the issues I had problems with climbing was all black people. I remember when I started at the bank, you know what I'm saying, to try to climb, people had to teach me stuff. The people who were black were not willing to teach me. They're like, oh, this young nigga about to come and try to take our jobs. But the white folks, they were open arms, you know what I'm saying, what you want to learn, what you want to do. So my first event who gave me opportunity was definitely a white man. So I remember when I told him about it, like what my plan was, he was like, okay, what we need to do? And he was a doctor. So he started the organization. So he was just like, what we need to do, what resources we need to get, you know what I'm saying? We made it happen. So I think that answers your question, I believe.
Yeah, it does. So moving forward, what was the next event?
Oh, Lord, you're taking me back 10 years. That was the gala in December. That was 2012, 2013. No, that's what happened. Okay, so 2013, end of 2012, right, going into 2013, I had an investor I'm like telling all my stuff. I don't really talk about this stuff. But
you're going to talk about it today. This is BWR exclusives.
Right. So I had an investor that was supposed to help me open up, I think it was called Fourth, I think barbershop and spa or Fourth. I can't think of the name of it, but it was like a barbershop, and also it was like services like manicures, pedicures, facials, as well as like a full bar. So I had an investor who on January 1st supposed to send me $350,000 for this project. I remember I was on Christmas Day because I was at church at Triumph. If people know Detroit, they know Triumph. Anyway, I was at church and I got a text message or email from the investor canceling on Christmas. When I tell you,
man,
I meant
Christmas is canceled for real.
When I tell you, I was bawling, boohooing, bawling in church, was so devastated because this was like my next thing to do. You know what I'm saying? Because especially I quit my job as corporate. Yeah, I did my couple of events, but again, I wasn't making no money in events back then because I was new. I didn't know what to charge. I'm just like happy somebody gave me an opportunity. I had to probably like $1,000, $500. I don't know what it was. But But I knew I got this 350 coming January 1st, you know what I'm saying? So once that happened, I pivoted and I said, fuck this, I'm moving to Texas. So literally within days from Christmas to Christmas Eve, I packed up whatever could fit in my car and I relocated here to Texas the first time.
Christmas Eve or New Year's Eve?
No, I left Christmas. No, I got here New Year's Eve.
Okay.
New Year's Eve, so December 31st. Yeah. Okay. So I drove. I'd say I'm going to start the New Year's off somewhere else because I was depressed. Mm-hmm. So I did that. Mm-hmm. And then that's when, yeah, I think 2013 was a beginning of part of 2013 was a definitely a challenging year. I ended up on still events anymore. I started bartending. I think when I started bartending, that's when I ended up meeting people from the Cowboys because a lot of the Cowboys used to be at the bar. I used to bartend at and manage. And that's how I got connected to Jerry Jones, and that's how that took place. So that pivot from me just saying, I don't know what I'm going to do. Let me just go to, I had a cousin who lived here. He was like, man, just come on. And I just came to Texas, to Dallas, to Fort Worth.
You said something earlier that I really wanted to unpack. You mentioned that first you weren't making any money in the events. But you were talking about how whenever you work for a company, they want to pay you peanuts to do amazing things. But whenever you're an entrepreneur, you can command a much higher salary in that same field. So how did you start identifying, like, and raising your price? Because I think a lot of entrepreneurs struggle with that, right?
Yeah.
Because it's like, you say, I know my value. I know, I'm trying to relate it to them. How did you start doing that?
It was, what helped me to realize what I was not getting paid was one particular big function, I'm not even going to say what it is, that I did, where they told me, hey, you know, you could have got last year 40-some thousand, but we only paid you, I think it was like 1,500.
And they budgeted for 40,000?
Yes. And at that point.
For one event.
For one event.
And you took $1,500
for that. And I thought the 1,500 was something. You know what I'm saying? Because I was like, because again, most people in events, you know, X amount of years ago, they wasn't making the type of money. Like I said, so it wasn't, I'm used to, like, again, people who do weddings and stuff like that, they're making a few hundred bucks, $500. So, you know what I'm saying? I wasn't thinking like that. But she was like, and she told me, this is a black woman. She told me once she left or whatever, the organization or whatever, she told me that, again, running to, she was like, you know, we have budgeted, you know, 40K for somebody in your position, whatever, for your role. And, but you accepted 15. So telling me that, I end up doing it for a couple more years after, and I end up getting more than that. But I,
yeah. Man, shout out to that, to sis, because not enough people going to tell you that. Like,
shout out to them.
But yeah, I didn't even tell, like I said, about, yeah, that she can be named, but the rest, I'm not going to name, like I said, again, it's a lot more to that. And it's still, it could be some even more stuff to that, but some legal stuff. But go ahead. We don't want to get into that, but yeah.
And we're not trying to.
I think in this industry too, and people in entrepreneurship, period, you're going to have people who sue you. You're going to sue people. You know what I'm saying? It's going to be interactions with people who try to blackball you because you stand up for yourself and all the type of stuff. So it's like, especially, I always say, like, speak your peace and be real about it, but also understand that this industry, especially what you're in, is also very small. And I'm just not trying to burn bridges with people. Like I said, this stuff happened, you know, say X amount of years ago. Mm-hmm. But if I bring it back up to the surface and name people, stuff like that, then it just all brings it back up. And I'm just like, some people I let go, you know, saying years ago, I'm doing well, hope they're doing good, you know, stuff like that too. But yeah, it was some shit when I first, you know, started. And because too, it's a woman dominated industry, mm-hmm. right? So like I said, coming in as a male into this, it definitely was met with a lot of resistance because honestly, a lot of the clients prefer men over, because I'm like, I'm very straightforward. I'm very cut and dry, just how it is. Like, mm-hmm. I don't leave room for interpretation. It's like, I'm not doing all this, you know, so I'm not emotional. It's just like, this is what it is. You know what I'm saying? A lot of clients appreciate that because, again, I've watched so many other females in this industry literally buckle under pressure. It's a very high stress, you know, some type of work.
Because whenever things need to happen, they need to happen
right then. Right. And I don't even get time for you to be breaking down, crying. And it's like, then just like emotions are on 10. I'm not going to talk to you in a warm and fuzzy tone. I'm not going to do a compliment sandwich. I'm going to say, I need this now. You know what I'm saying? And that's where, like, a lot of people, that's why I have like a hard time with volunteers and these large functions because they don't get that. Mm-hmm. They think, because at the volunteer orientation, you know what I'm saying, Will is so nice, and I am. You know what I'm saying? But when I'm on site, I'm like focused. So I don't have time to be like, energy. Hey, Mama Sandy, how you doing today? Da, 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 da. Like, no, I need you to be over there. Why are you not in your command? Da, 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 da. And they get so flustered by not being that same person that I was at the orientation. Now it's that I'm more on site. Like I said, again, when you have so much and it's thousands and thousands, tens of thousands of people mm-hmm. who attend these functions that I do, it's like I'm responsible for a lot of stuff. And people are like, I don't have time for the, you know, say I've grown better over the years because as I mastered my craft, I've been able to balance, you know, being hardcore and also being like a nice person.
So you said something else that I kind of want to unpack. And
it's a lot
that,
of great stuff.
That was like the relationships part, yeah. though. So even, you know, I said we was going to come back to it. You were like, you know, I don't want to burn bridges, but I think that's something that you do extremely well is build relationships with people. And you understand how to get to the decision maker really well as well.
Yeah.
So I kind of want to talk about how did you learn how to build these relationships and what is important to foster these type of relationships to where they can last years?
That's a good question, because I've always been that way. Like I say, because people who know me know that I can, like, get into anything, call anybody, you know what I'm saying, sporting, concerts, whatever. I can call anybody and get into anything.
Will the plug.
He really is.
I think that's important because I think it's just being, number one, it's being yourself. Because like I said, I'm a good time. I'm a personality. Everybody know that, whatever. But I always make sure that I stay myself. I don't care if I'm around a bunch of billionaires or I'm around the hood niggas. I'm going to be Will. You know what I'm saying? I think people, and even when dealing with a lot of celebrities, they've always been like, you know, I don't fan out. Like, I really don't, you know, I'm always going to be me. I think that's the first thing. So relationship currency is super important because those open up doors for me way more than, again, I'm not a person on social media. I'm not stuff like that. A lot of people use those avenues to have doors open up for them. I don't use that. Like I said, just for me, it's relationships that, but people remember me. Mm-hmm. And they remember how you interacted with, like I said, again, they remember that if they came to one of my functions or if I met them at a function, that we had a great time together. And I'm always about follow through.
When something happens to your kitchen, you might say,
"This is ludicrous."
But that won't fix your home. That will only get you the rapper Ludacris.
Having trouble? Don't panic. Don't be alarmed. You need to file a claim? Holla at State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
That's right. You can file a claim on the app or call us.
Thanks, Mr. Chris.
No matter how ludicrous the situation, like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
State Farm, Bloomington, Illinois.
Mm-hmm. So if I met you at this one function, you know, so I'm going to shoot you an email. I'm going to just keep in contact. I'm not a user. So even like these people who are from CEOs of companies to artists to managers, whatever, I literally just see people text messages or like, hey, just what's up with you? You good? Da, da, da. Just throughout the year. So when mm-hmm. I ask for something, it's not seem like, damn, you only call me when you want something. You know what mm-hmm. I mean?
That makes
and
sense.
A lot of people do that. Like, and some people like, people hit me up like, nigga, I ain't talked to you and God knows when. Why are you contacting me?
You know they just want some shit.
Exactly.
They come like, they hit you with that, hey bro, how you been?
Yeah.
Like, been a long time. Yeah. Huh?
And then I just show appreciation to people who do stuff for me. So like if I'm in that town that certain people is at, or somebody always giving me tickets somewhere, something like that, like I always be like, hey, or they come in town for something, let's go to dinner. You know what I'm saying? My treat. Let me just show you my appreciation. Because again, relationships are so crucial. And I definitely try to burn bridges. You know, again, throughout my life, we make those mistakes. And again, sometimes we react first and then we think about the consequences after. As I said, now I'm older now. I know the difference. I'm like, yeah, some people, there's some stuff that happened to me that was completely shady that mm-hmm. shouldn't have happened. You know, some people just did some very wrong stuff, but it happens for a reason.
But I to that point too, like I don't want to look at it and think of it as always like burning bridges is a bad thing. One thing that I've learned from you over this past year is really setting boundaries in relationships. Let's get into that because like
that's a good one.
Because like no, really, on a professional level, this is yeah. one thing I really admire about you. You let people know what you set really good expectations
right out the gate,
and you set boundaries really well in a professional setting. And I feel like a lot of times, I know me personally, I struggle with that as a solopreneur coming out. Right, like. I gotta do everything. I gotta be this. I gotta be that. And what it creates is like this life where you have no boundaries between your business and all these other things. Or like, you're trying to do everything all the time.
Well, that still is me. I haven't mastered that part yet. Because, you know, I'm a control freak like no other. But I will put people in their places and let them know what will I want, you know, mm-hmm. what I'm saying, accept from them. From clients to vendors to whatever. And I'm a person, I'm a very direct individual too. So like, I'll let you pass your passive aggressive remarks. But then again, like I said, I'll contact you. You know some people who we have had. I'll contact you direct and be like, hey, do we have a problem? Because I'm not going to continue to do this childish, passive aggressive mm-hmm. dance with you. I'm going to get you directly and be like, hey, what's the issue? If either we can work together or we can't. So I'm not going to continue to do it. But yeah, but even with the vendors know with me too. Like I said, I expect a level of expectation, a certain level of excellence, because the vendor, people don't care that the caterer messed up. Mm-hmm. It's about who produced that event.
Yeah.
Will. You know what I'm saying? It's like, and everything from the valet to the, you know, saying to the audio people, the sound a mess. I hired all these people. So all that stuff is on me. So I get in their ass mm-hmm. because it's like, it's y'all messing up my brand.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It's like, and if I'm going to rock with y'all and always have y'all be my number one vendors, y'all need to make sure that y'all got my back too. Mm-hmm. So that's what it is. So I just really make sure. A lot of people are not used to that, but I'm very much so very hands-on, and I will let you know from the beginning because I'm not, we're going to set a tone day mm-hmm. one, because I don't want you to come back a year later thinking that was acceptable and it's not.
Even you even do it like, because I know you recently took a 9-to-5 job yeah. and you was like, you know, you told them as well, like, yo, we're not doing nah, that.
He didn't take a 9-to-5 yeah. like, he bullied them people.
Yeah, they but made you, negotiations. People, they may be individuals who are watching, so shout out to
that organization. I know you were negotiations. But I know you set your boundaries as that as well. And I see that in the corporate space. Sometimes someone get hired for this, but then they end up taking on all of these other roles that they were not hired for. So if there's someone who's listening, how can they set those boundaries for their job as well? It's like, you know what? This is what y'all hired me for.
Right. So when I came to the table, again, my resume speaks for itself, right? So I know that I'm going to be the best candidate, you know what I'm saying, for that. But also I need to make sure, let them know I run a business. And what I make from this business, I make more than what y'all can pay me. Mm. So I need y'all to understand that from the beginning. So if you can't stay within these confines that we have agreed upon, then I can't be here. Mm-hmm. So, and I think that was understood. And I was perfectly clear during the interview process, the day I got hired, the day I sat down with them, like, look, I cannot be here all day. I won't be here all day. You know what I'm saying? This would be treated like a client scenario. You would be another client of mine, but I also have other clients who pay me extremely well for what they do. I'm not going to miss out on that money for your money. Not going to happen. So I think, again, from the beginning, just setting that up, I'm not going to tell you what you want to hear. I'm going to let you know what it is from the beginning. And then again, if you're cool with that, we can do business. If not, then there's other people who want Sir William Haggins the Fourth.
Okay, with the full name.
Drop the full government.
All right.
Yeah. I'm going to Google that shit, too.
Yeah. So, yeah. So, that's the difference, like I said. But it worked out good. I'm happy for that organization because, you know, it's still like a, it's not a long-term position. It's still a contract position. Mm-hmm. Like, it has expiration. But it's a great work relationship with the individuals. And it opened up a door for me, especially being in a new area. Mm-hmm. Meeting new people and stuff like that, it actually was a good situation for me. Yeah.
There was something else that you talked about, the lawyer part. Like, well, not even the lawyer part, but like the suing part and being in business and yeah. some of, you know, the risks that are associated with it. And I think that was really a good topic that I don't want to brush over, because I do think a lot of times in business, entrepreneurs think that everything is going to be peaches and cream.
Oh, no.
And
no.
Everything is going to be roses. Yeah. Yeah.
And like I said, let me, I can speak on, because I'm very transparent and very open. Like I said that, and I hate when people get on these platforms and talk about, you know, saying all the good stuff, whatever. Like, I don't know. Forgive me. Like I said, I don't know, you know.
Hey, you good.
Yeah.
I understand where people, you were going.
Yeah. So, like I said, I try to be very, very transparent. So, 2020 would have been the best year.
I was going to talk
about okay, that. Yeah. For my event company. 2020 in Detroit, there were, you know, anybody from Detroit or know the how over the years it just have been such a great evolving place to be. So there was tons of big events and functions come into the city. And me being a destination management company, again, there's levels to this thing called, let me stop on the levels real quick. So I hear people say you're an event planner. No, I'm not an event planner. Event planners, so let me put the scale for you so people can
come on. Senior event producer. No, hold on. I want him to paint the picture of this shit. Get into it.
What, the levels?
Yeah.
So there's levels to this. So when you first start off, you typically are an assistant to an event coordinator, mm-hmm. right? That's the first level you start off at. Then you start off as event coordinator. Then you go to event planner. Then you go to event manager. Then you can go to like a senior event manager. Then you can go to event producer. Then you can go to senior event producer. So there's many levels you have to climb before you get to that level of a senior event producer. I think people don't understand the magnitude of what we do for these larger events. People think they just show up and think it's hot. No. It's a lot of moving pieces that come to these larger events. So people say, oh, you just plan events. No. Again, if I just plan, you know, some of these baby showers are big and spectacular, but if I just plan you at my house baby shower, you know what I'm saying, then yes, that's an event planner. But those who actually do big, elaborate, millions of dollars in budgets, these are productions. Mm-hmm. And that's why, like I said, they become an event producer. These are not just an event anymore. These are true productions that go on. There's camera crews, there's lighting, there's sound, there's videos. It's a run a show time. I mean, it's all types of stuff that go into make sure these productions run right. Mm-hmm. But that was a segue for that. So let me back to 2020. So 2020, again, was supposed to be the best year for my career. I had signed on. So I diversified my businesses. I had not only the event company, but I had a print company mm-hmm. that we did all the print stuff for events. So I thought it was smart. Okay, I'm writing all these big checks to this print company for signage, for merchandise. Why not have a company myself? Check, did that. Also, security company, event security. I'm writing even bigger checks for event security. So why not assemble event security company? Did that, mm-hmm. check. Also, catering. Cater's another big expense for these things. Why not get a percentage of that? Get that too. Check. Now I got all these buckets. Not only am I getting my management fee to run the event, I'm getting a check for catering. I'm getting a check for security. And I'm getting a check for the print work. We good.
Vertical integration.
We good. Then an invisible virus came.
Corona.
One
thing we don't speak of.
No, I'm gangbanging against Corona. Right. I had that shit recently, and we out here beating it.
That gangbang, I had it like 3-4 times. I think.
Yeah, you had it too much.
Yeah, right. So I had it one of the first people in Michigan to have it. But anywho, so when that came, it was like, okay, patient zero, really patient zero over here. So when that came, it was like the governor was like, okay, 1 week. You know, because they had to spoon feed the Americans, because if they tell us like, oh no, we shut it down for months at a time. But then I just slowly started seeing that, you know what, we're not going to be back. So all my contracted work that I have for the year, I personally, just on the event side, not even the other branches of the business mm-hmm. I had, I would have made about $300,000+ just on that side. Not the other businesses. Mm-hmm. So when I started seeing all these things cancel, I fell into a depression. And I'll be honest with depression. Like, I was in a mental hospital because I was so overworked and had so much stuff going on. You know, so again, at a point where you say, I've always had an issue with making sure that I did everything. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? I just had to do everything because I didn't trust anybody that would do it like how I would do it. Mm. And that's a big part for entrepreneurs. How do you grow? As a business, I'm still learning it myself. How do I grow as a brand, as a business, if I have to do everything? And I said, I try to bring on people and then they, you know, I'm dissatisfied or they disappoint me, whatever for that. But yeah, I had a whole mental breakdown in 2020.
Quite understandable.
It was a whole, thing.
I mean, like you said, you seen $300,000 on the books go down to nothing. And like you said, you went through this depression. I kind of want to talk through that more, right? Because whenever we met you, you told us, I don't do events anymore.
Right.
You was going to be a realtor.
Yeah.
You got a real. When I walked in your garage, I seen the realtor side. I laugh at that all the time. Like,
that's right. I forgot about that. Yeah. So because I was so, I was so done with events because that was my life. You know what I'm saying? Like, that was all I knew for the last, 8 years, whatever year, 2020 was 8 years.
Yeah.
So it was like, that's all I knew. And it was like, and then you get to a point in your career where it's like, oh yeah, I'm the man. Nah. You know what I'm saying? Like, this is it. This is for me. And it's like, I knew from that year, 2020 and beyond, I was going to be untouchable. You know what I'm saying? In this space. Because like, I had booked the right stuff with Forbes. I booked stuff with different marathons around the country. Like, you know, I did it. I was having events that overseas. Like, I got some good stuff, some big brands that was booking me. So I'm like, yeah, I'm the man. So, and when all that stuff crumbled, it was like, you know what? Maybe when I moved to Texas, it's like, maybe I should do something different. And then everyone was like, oh, you got this personality, this charisma, da da da, you should do real estate. So, and it's funny, so you say that because I'm like, okay, you know, I'm taking my exam, take the test. Never got a client, never sold a house, none of that. But it's like when I would start like trying to market myself to people was like, oh, real estate agents are a dime a dozen, right? So they were just like not really into that. But they was like, well, what else you used to do? Well, before this, I used to do da 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 da.
Man, you say 400,000 people at the Jazz Fest and everybody ears.
I know, it was crazy because like people definitely was like, oh, because that's different. Mm-hmm. A lot of people, especially people of color, people like me, in my age, whatever, have not done the level of events that I've done. Mm-hmm. So when you tell people that, it's instantly like, oh, for real? And then that's where relationship currency come from. Now people are connecting me to people. Oh my God, you gotta meet this guy, he do these type of events, da 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 da. So they went from, I'm not doing events anymore, to back to, that's all I'm doing again. So, but again, it was just a depression from thinking that I was a failure, that maybe it's not what God wants from me. You know what I'm saying? Because if I had supposed to be my best year, now it's my worst year. Literally, I mean, I had some money saved up, thank God, from the year prior, but that was a broke year.
Yeah.
I mean, living off of unemployment, you know, and not thinking, you know, I lasted longer than most people probably could because I had a little bit extra money saved up. But yeah, that was a broke year. That was a very broke year.
Yeah.
That was a broke year. 2021.
I really want to talk about like coming back up out of that because like, I don't think we talk about that part of it enough for entrepreneurship. And I know it's something because I faced burnout like from October of last year. So I say about a few months ago, I really had no
desire.
It just was this feeling like, oh man.
Yeah.
Even for me, like from July up until maybe like February, March, I was facing the same type of feelings as well.
Yeah, I didn't do anything. So from COVID started, March 2020. From March 2020 through, I would say, June 2021, I met y'all. I didn't do nothing. You know what I'm saying? Not a thing. You know, so I didn't do anything at all. And I remember my psychiatrist told me when I got out the mental hospital, like, take 3 months for yourself. Like, don't do nothing. I'm like, sir, I have all these businesses. I can't take 3 months. But then COVID happened and it's like 3 months turned into a year and a half or whatever of me not doing nothing. And I think from that break, I was able to finally like take the time I always needed because again, I was always on that fast track. In high school, I got honors, got academic scholarship to college. College, I had to do my thing to make sure that I got out of college, got a good job. You know what I'm saying? I got that first good job. I had to make sure I proved myself. It's like you always are always trying to be the best, always trying to be this. And then when you start entrepreneurship, you know what I'm saying, arena, you always got to be the best. You got to outdo da 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 da. And it's like, and then people, and I would say especially our people, it makes it more even challenging and difficult because like some cities like Detroit and people know who live there, it's definitely a crab in a barrel type of
mentality.
Yeah. It's only going to be one of us. It's going to be you, it's going to be me. And everybody crawling and clawing and kicking and scratching and shooting and fighting, you know what I'm saying, to get to that position. And it's like, it's draining. And that's what I said. When I moved to the South the first time in 2013, just to be so embraced by people, it was crazy. Like, you know, I remember because I was struggling for 2013, like living with my cousin broke as hell. And I remember the friends I just met, they put together like $2,000 for me. It was like, don't you know, worry about money. You know what I'm saying? You guys use a little cash. I'm like, you don't even know me. You know what I'm saying? But just that type of, you know, Southern hospitality, which is correct, that don't come from the North. But a lot of people in the North has moved to the South now, so it's a good mixture. You'll get the same thing.
Y'all niggas bringing all y'all attitudes.
Yeah, yo.
We bring our doggy dog
quick
world.
Quick message. If y'all gonna come to the South, don't bring that bullshit with y'all.
Come with a smile.
embracing.
Embracing, yeah.
Sorry.
I feel like I'm sweating. Am I sweating? I don't know. My house, just AC with you doesn't get a little hot.
Nigga, they don't care.
Oh, I was just saying. Yeah. I feel like I'm sweating.
We good.
I'm good.
No, you good. Okay, you might be a little shiny, but you good.
I feel like it's a little hot. Look at the dab.
Yeah, you good.
Look at the dab. So I think that's what it was. Like, taking that break, taking the opportunity to be like, you know what I'm saying, I had this much time to do it. It's been a lot of time, you said, talking to my therapist, talking to God, you know what I'm saying, figuring out what is it that, you know what I'm saying, we're going to do. But always everything kept going back to events for me. That's what I'm great at. And it's so effortless for me. You know what I'm saying? That's one thing that is just, I literally do it in my suit. Like, I literally can plan a 100,000 plus people festival in like 3 months.
Crazy.
Like, it's so easy for me. If I got the money and nobody in my way, like, I hate committees because people just waste too much time for me. But if I can do it all myself, oh, it's going to be done. And it's going to be great. But committees, people, I got this idea, got that idea. Da, 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 da.
Having meetings about meetings.
Meetings about meetings. Just everything just takes so long to prolong. You know what I'm saying? So, but, yeah.
I got another question for you, Will. We going through this now with the summit. Let's talk about getting money.
Okay,
from
let's talk about the
other companies. Nah, let's talk about getting money from corporations.
I've been getting. Isn't that a song? I'm trying to stay relatable to the audience, you know, to the people.
Bro, that shit was 10 years ago, nigga. That shit is old as you.
Well, you know what? So this nigga was trying to call me an old bitch, but you wish when you get to my age that you continue to look youthful. Y'all young niggas be 20 something years old and looking way older because y'all smoked out, y'all drunk out, all this type of stuff. But no, I say
I look good. I don't know what you talking
we'll
about.
We'll let the poll show. Let's bring a poll. But no, what was the question? See, this nigga always give you off sidetracked.
getting money from corporations.
Okay.
Corporate dollars.
So I've always worked on the sponsorship fulfillment end, right? So there's always been a team, especially like, and people understand with these big events, it's always multiple teams that work these big events. There's the marketing people, there's the sponsorship people, there's the operations team, and there's the event team, you know, whatever. So sponsorship people, whatever, people who handle getting the money, and then, you know, we say, hey, we got an $8 million budget for this event. They get the money, I just spend the dollars, right? So now being transitioned to both sides, it helps because I know how to fulfill the events, because again, I've done the sponsorship fulfillment, and I know how to make sure that from a sponsorship side, it looks good for them and attractive for them to want to sponsor. And so all these organizations I work with now who typically have had smaller budgets, and I say, no, increase that budget. Because if you, sponsors will pay for your events if it's something that they see value in.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you have in the backyard Baptist barbecue that you had the last 15, 20 years, no one cares about that. So, but if you elevate it, as some national recording art or stuff like that, now the budget goes up, sponsorships go up because people actually want to attend that event. And that's the difference in these events. People don't understand the day of just getting dollars. Again, these liquor sponsors, so like for Black people, they love a good, you know, liquor sponsor, which is great. You know what I'm saying? They give you the $3,000 to $5,000. To me, I call that pity dollars because these are very small dollar amounts. If you know sponsorship dollars, sponsors give money to events tens of thousands to hundreds to millions of dollars for events.
So, okay, do I need something special to get this money, Will? Like,
you need to have a proof of concept. If you don't have a proof of concept, again,
so that proof of concept would mean that you've done this event prior.
You've done it prior, meaning that you, and there's a certain demographic, you can show demographics. Mm-hmm. So sponsors want to know, do you align with the initiative that they have for that year, right? So if their initiative is based off the arts, let's say, for example, does your organization or your event align with the arts, right? That. Then do you fulfill the demographic requirement? Who's showing up to your event? If you got 12 people, we don't care. You know what I'm saying? If you got hundreds of people, thousands of people, and it fits into that age group, the millennial demographic and Gen Z. Yeah. That's a, you know, then cool. If you have a bunch of old people, even AARP don't sponsor, you know, say AARP anymore. Like, they have marketed now to millennials. You see the commercials they have, because that's their demographic of people who have disposable income.
Untapped,
right,
demographic.
So it's like you have to remember those two things for that. Mm-hmm. And then also, again, the main important part is all this is just to network. Go to a lot of these events that have sponsors.
Mm-hmm.
Then they're all there. they all have a table, somebody there connects you to that, you know, it's in that group. So that's the whole thing important. But again, we fixated our people are on these liquor sponsors. And it's like, yes, they're easy to obtain. But it's like, if you want to put on great events, $5,000 ain't going to do it. Mm-hmm. I have never done an event under $100,000+. Like, I don't know how to do an event for $5,000.
Even your first event?
Yeah, that budget was over that too. Yeah.
Sheesh.
So, yeah, but that was like sponsored by Delta, the airline. Mm-hmm. So and they got big sponsors because of the type of event it is. But yeah, no. But white people have always had, you know, saying big events. It's just us that have always tried to, you know, because we always think. Because
black people taught to make a dollar out of 15 cents.
Right. And we always think too that, you know, saying we have to fund it ourselves. So if we have to fund it ourselves, yeah, I only can afford a $5,000 event or even that, a couple of $1,000 event. But it's like also too, we just have the same old raggedy shit. And it's like, I don't know how many events I go to. I go to, my social calendar is probably longer than my event calendar. Like I go to so many events and they're so boring. They're so like, I leave it and I totally forgot I went to it.
I'm glad you're bringing this point up because that was another question I wanted to ask you is, how do you differentiate your events and create these memorable experiences from the boring events that's so minute and seem so redundant?
So I always tell clients before, when I meet with the client, I always tell them, I am the producer of this show. This is my event and you just happen to be able to be privileged to join it. I always tell customers, like clients that, and they'd be like, what? Because ultimately, if I don't enjoy the event, I can't put my, you know, say name on to it. So it's not, scare me with the scratching.
Bro, don't bring no attention to it. Nigga itching, bro. I told y'all. They
let that poison ivy. I said, oh Lord, it's spreading. Is it contagious? I gotta get a vaccine.
What? No, you don't need a goddamn vaccine.
Is it airborne?
I gotta make sure that's why airborne. I got the long sleeves on. I'm trying to spare the
people. I ain't gonna lie, I wasn't paying attention to it. You
I
are.
Saw it.
I hate you.
I'm like, okay, I know he got eczema, so it must be something else going on over there. Okay, so I always let them know from the beginning, like, this is, you know, saying this is my production, right? Because I have to make sure that I love it. So, and I always tell them too, like the programming, no one cares about your programming at the event. No one cares. Like people go to a gala or a luncheon, mainly they're going to network and to talk to people who are there. If you talk to people all day about your programming, about you can get up on the stage, have 50 people walk up and talk about boring shit, no one cares. So I always tell clients, like, no one cares. And the likelihood that you continue to get sponsors after your boring events, people talk to people, like, put it in a QR code. They can read your shit later. You know what I'm saying? That's what I always try. Because no one, they're coming to be entertained. If you want to get money from these events, entertain the guests that are there. No one cares. If you want to have a seminar, have a seminar. But your luncheon, your gala, your whatever should not be in that format. Even seminars are boring as hell. Even conferences. It's like it's all the same stuff. And it's like, I have ADHD. I've been diagnosed. I've been seeing a therapist. I'm big up to mental health because I've always, my mother was really big in making sure that we had therapists as kids. Mm-hmm. We always had, a lot of black families don't have that. I'm not a typical black family, but my parents divorced at 10. My mom immediately put us through counseling, mm-hmm, right at 10 years old, make sure that we dealt with the separation of our parents. So I've always had this. So I was diagnosed with ADHD. I was diagnosed with ADHD back then. So I try to plan events that excite me. If I'm bored, then the crowd is bored. And I know it takes slim, you know, to enough for me to be bored. So I'm like, okay. And that's how I try to make sure that I have my events like that. But it's so boring. Like no one cares. This 50 people up the stage talking to, we don't care. Where is the entertainment? We all people come out to enjoy.
I want to hear some music.
Right. Or network, talk to people. Like I said, a lot of times, especially during the middle of the day or at nighttime, people get dressed up to go to the event. Like, they going to have a good time. They mm-hmm want to drink. They want to eat. They want to socialize. We don't want to sit down and listen to your program draw out for hours and hours and hours because sister got, Mary got a speech. This person, and these speeches be so damn keynotes after keynote after keynote. Good Lord, just sit down. We don't care. So just make it.
What's up, everyone? It's Boss Britt.
And it's DJ Excel.
If you're a fan of the queer culture and lifestyle, then be sure to check out and subscribe to the No Homo Show.
We're a show that shares true stories that are uncut, funny, relatable, and of course, gay. from a lesbian's perspective.
That's right. Brought to you exclusively by the Revolt Podcast Network.
Like an experience. As I said, wow, people suddenly walk in the door. That's a creative piece. And I think I want to give credit to a certain individual. It's the worst ever. I'm going to look right at this camera. The worst ever work relationship I ever had. This camera. Because this is the worst ever relationship working-wise, working with somebody. This person played me, left so many times, still owe me money in this business. But I will say that person, what they did teach me was creativity. They taught me, I'm using that those pronouns because you're going to know if it's a guy or girl, but they taught me how to think outside the box when it comes to events. Mm-hmm. Terrible business person. Absolutely terrible. Like I said again, where it ran over me, left me with several bills for events, didn't show up to them. All this stuff is terrible. Yeah. Absolutely terrible. To this day, owe me tens of thousands of dollars. But, you know, they taught me that. I almost said that gender. They taught me that. And that's the part I was talking about with suing people, because you're going to have to. In this industry, it's in period. You know what I'm saying? Get you a good team. CPAs are important. I'm sure I talk about this stuff. CPAs are important. Lawyers are important, because this stuff's going to come up. You know what I'm saying? You're going to have to, people going to play you. And you got to make sure your stuff is tight, your contracts is tight. And you got to make sure, say, if they don't, because I'm not a person that, I'm not a hood nigga. I ain't going to fight you. I'm going to sue you. So that's just what it is. I'll take you. You may ain't got
that's
nothing.
A bar.
But I'm going to take you to small claims court for whatever dollar I can get out of you, up to $5,000. If you got a little bit more money than that, and I'm going to, you know, bring my attorneys involved to get you for something else. But sometimes you just have to, because I've dealt with so many graphic designers and so many website people, so many photographers and all these people who just think they could just, you know what I'm saying, you pay them and then they just go ghost on you, whatever. No, I'm suing you.
So lawyer up, like my dude Tim say.
Right. Because you even have to lawyer up for small claims. Anything under $5,000, you can represent yourself. You know what I'm saying? And that's just easy to go to the courthouse and just file. You got to know their address or where they at. And then they get a private investigator to find out their social security and all this stuff, whatever, to be able to claim. But yeah, to file it. But I say, because I'm not about to fight you. I'm not doing this. So I'm too grown. I'm too classy to be doing social media wars with you. I'm just going to sue you.
And you know, I think
just do good business. Just do good business.
Most more of us need to get comfortable with that shit. Like,
yeah.
Especially you were talking about something earlier with black businesses, and I was thinking about it. It's like we just tend to have this tendency to kind of want to operate like kind of substandard. Like we just want to, you know, oh, I can cut corners here. I can just, we don't need that right now. You know, well, it's like getting a lawyer, getting that CPA, getting your books in order. All these things are super damn important.
But it helps you get those bigger clients and those bigger contracts. Like if your stuff, and I think that's what have done wonders for me, is that people see how I am professionally and how all my stuff, like I'm always on, I'm like not on time, I'm early. You know what I'm saying? Like these type of things that just shows clients, because again, I'm not looking for, you know, Big Mama to be my client. You know what I'm saying? I'm looking for the corporation to be my client. Mm-hmm. That's why I'm not big on social media, because you average person can't book me. You know what I'm saying? Because my fees are typically well above their actual budget for the event.
Hit them with that percentage. We ain't gotta give
what
them
we talking. What we talking?
We can tell the number. So
talk that shit.
We tell the number. So my fee is I'm 15% of your budget, minimum $10,000. So what that means is, so I am $10,000 per day, absolutely period. So if your budget is only $50,000, I'm still gonna get my $10,000 period for me to even show up.
So that
means
you gotta just operate off the 40.
Yeah. Yep. You gotta operate at the $40,000 because I'm gonna take 10. Just for me to show up for that day. That's not including my team. That's just for my rate for the show. So 15%. So if it's a $100,000 budget, 15% is
$15,000.
Right. So, you know what I'm saying? That goes up and go, you know, up to the cost of the event. But yeah, if it's a conference, 3-day conference, then a minimum $30,000. So each day I have to be paid a minimum $10,000 for that.
Now, somebody hearing this and saying, man, how the hell is he commanding these type of rates? I just don't get it. How are you getting the charge this much to put on an event?
And it's funny because certain clients, like it's funny, I was at a function yesterday and one client was talking to a potential client. You know, he high, but he worth it. I said, no, don't say that because I'm not high. I am worth what I charge. Like I said, like I give an experience and I give a... I give you what you should be paying for. I say that because a lot of times people, in contrast to me, organizations, well, we had blank company do it and it was a disaster. How much you paid them? I think they were like $2,500. That's why. So like anything in this world, you get what you pay for. So if you want a turnkey operation service, which I am, we handle everything from the event aspect. Only thing I don't do, like y'all know, I don't handle your marketing. So you can have one person show up to the event. If you say 500 people, I'm going to have a set of 500 people. I don't care who show up to the event. It's not my problem. So I don't handle that. And I don't handle the programming piece from your organization, meaning I don't handle your talking points. So if you want to honor this person, if you want to show this and that, just let me know. I don't write that stuff, whatever. That's on you. Everything else we handle, you know what I'm saying, from that perspective. And people have seen when they attend stuff and like even with some of these corporate clients that I'm now getting and reaching out to, they're like, wow, I've never seen an event run so smoothly. It's because, again, you paid for that service. Now, if you paid me what I used to be making 10 years ago, $500, $1,500, you wouldn't get none of this.
You ain't getting all.
You ain't getting none of this.
We ain't getting the nice shuttle buses.
You ain't. Hey, oh, no.
I ain't going to bust my head with that one at the last one.
Shuttle buses?
Bro, Jalen never been to one of my events.
It was like, it wasn't just like some regular shuttle buses. It was like the luxury kind. You go sit on that bus, you like, ooh.
And then the people actually thought when they saw a shuttle, they actually thought that was going to be like school buses.
Yeah, no cap, nigga.
Right, that's what I'm saying. I'm like, hey, do you not know who I am? But it's like, yeah, but I said, but again, that's just come reputation. That's why, again, and I turn down events all the time because, again, it's the integrity. People understand that too. Like, I get people be desperate, you know what I'm saying, for gigs and for jobs, whatever. Mm-hmm. But your brand, your integrity is super important because, again, like, I won't take something that's going to ruin my rep because I don't have a social media presence. So my way of marketing is the old school way, word of mouth. So if you, like, yes, like some time ago, there was people thought I did a function. And I was like, no. You know, so that was not my function because they saw me at it. Everybody assume if I'm at some place, then it's mine. But it's like, no, because you need to know the difference between a will serve forth for production, and whatever that was. So it was like, I got to make sure people understand the difference in that. So just make sure my brand is so crucial to me because I've built that brand over these 10 years. People are synonymous with if he do something, oh, it's going to be an experience. You're going to remember that shit, you know, saying 10 years down the road and not this old, you know, mess that everybody be doing.
I love it.
That's why I command when I command. And the prices are going up, by the way. The
price went up.
Yesterday's price is not today's price. Right. I love it.
But I always say, too, like, it's, you know, I didn't start off that way, though. You know what I'm saying? And it's only because until I got to a certain level. And then people were telling me, like, you know, this is what we had budgeted for. Like, that one lady, we had this, we had that. I said, oh, okay. Got it.
This is what I'm going to need.
Right. But that's the thing, too. Like, but I deserve that.
Do you ask them that now? What is your budget for this?
I always do that. Oh, I tell anybody, people ask me that advice all the time. Good question. Like, how do you make sure? I always ask the individual, what is your budget? Before we have any conversation, what is your budget?
So somebody that's dancing around the budget, how you get it? Do you like?
Are you like, I'm not fucking with you?
Yeah, because you know some people, they'll be like, yeah, well, what is your budget? Well, I'm not really sure. What do you got in mind?
Now let's tell people that you're not ready to have an event. Because you're not, because you know, if I say, well, I'm cool with the budget. What are you going to do? Okay, $300,000. Oh, no. Oh, my God. So you have a budget. So what's that number? You know what I'm saying? People are so irritating me. People know what it is. Because if I throw out a crazy number, you instantly going to be like, oh, my God, that's too much money. So then what do you have in mind then? But people, especially like, oh, my God, some of these organizations and stuff, like they play that game, too. And I'm like, it's okay. If you can't afford me, and people hate that, too. I'm like, if you can't afford me, you know what I'm saying, that's fine. Maybe you get your money together. You can give me a couple of years from now. Maybe you have to do a lesser, you know, quality event. That's fine. But it's like, there's nothing wrong with that. But it's condescending, but it also is to help them understand, like, I'm not about to play this game with you, though. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like, I know what I bring to the table. You contacted me because you know what I bring to the table. That comes with a price. You can't put on a Gucci suit at Walmart. You know what I'm saying? Like, you can't go to Walmart expecting to buy Gucci. That just doesn't happen that way. So you can't expect to have my type of level of production and pay me of that of somebody who first starting off in this industry. It's just not going to happen. And I'm not going to accept it. And it's cool if you can't afford me. We just won't do business now. But maybe get your money together. We can do business then.
So I got one more question before we get into the last parts of the pod. You talked about your show's running really smoothly,
mm-hmm.
and you mentioned it earlier, the runner show. I think that's one of the biggest things that you've taught us.
Like, what?
Like, it's one of the biggest blessings that you've taught us. Can you explain how important that is for an event to run?
So the runner show, if people don't know, it's like that's like an outline of literally from the time you step foot in that venue to the time you out of there. Before you go to the venue. Like you're listing out everything and you put a time on it to make sure that you stay on target and stay on task. So all big events, all major event people, like I said, have this because, again, we don't leave nothing to chance. Mm-hmm. We want to make sure that we have it. So we're double. This document is made, you know, weeks before the actual event, and we make sure we kind of run off that. So the importance of running a show is because, again, it's literally by the minute, you know, so you have everything timed out. So I'm very timely on my events, and clients don't believe when I say this, like, no, we will start on time and we will finish on time. Like, I'm dead ass to that. Because especially when you're dealing with our people expect it to run late. But no, there's so much other cost that goes into that. When you do that, it just affects everything. So I'm very much so on time. And I tell people too, like I have most of my events for clients, I tell them on the invitation, we have a time we would close the doors. And I'm very serious on that. So if the event starts at, this is a dinner, like a gala, if dinner is served at 7:00, we close the door at 6:30. You will not walk your monkey ass in these doors after 6:30 because you like it's rude. Number one, like I said, who taught y'all? You know, saying number two, and it's like I know, and people are like, well, I pay. I don't care if you paid the ticket price. Then you know from the invitation that you're supposed to be here by this time. And I don't care who you are. I have done so many events with so many celebrities, stuff like that. And people be like, oh, it's such. Security, no, the doors are closed. So again, unless you're like the organizer of the event, which, and they understand too, because people, it's a certain time and place to have stuff done in a certain way. So, yeah, I think that's so going off on a tangent, but yeah.
You were talking about the runner show and how important it was.
Because and I guess this is my thing with it. Cause once you showed us how run the shows work, we used it for the following event after the first event you came to. And it was like
night
the
and
weight
day.
Lifted off of shoulders is just like, damn, bro, I got this outline game plan. But then here comes the other piece that I want to go into you, keeping people on task.
Yeah.
This goes back to that project management piece you were talking about. What are some ways to keep people on task? Because it's easy. I'm not going to say it's easy, but in theory, it's always easier to create the run of show and have this perfect world scenario. But how do you get it to translate to people actually always staying on time?
And who are these people we're talking about? Your team?
Yeah.
Okay. So, simple. Your team needs to understand the importance of the run of show. If they don't understand the importance of the run of show, they shouldn't be a part of your team. Mm. So, and I think, and that's just like, as you know me, I would take it, and I tell my team too, like, I can do this on my own, and I really could. I will kill myself on the event, but I will make sure I will come to this venue 50 hours early if I need to do all the stuff by myself to make sure it happens. I'm not allowing the team to hold me back. But I guess the part about just having discernment in who you select as a team member, because the team should understand just how important this event is. Because all, and again, pay your people well enough so that they, you know, they want to be there, stuff like that, right? But like I said again, if you're paying them well enough, and that should be cool. But also understanding this is important because if you want to make more money, we got to knock this one out the ballpark. Every situation you do is leveraging another situation that you could have. So if you don't knock this one out, then that, because again, everyone comes to functions or whatever y'all do, like say whatever anybody does, we're looking at that. People are seeing like how you act, how you are, how your functions run. If it's chaotic, if it's late, if it's whatever, it's like you don't know who those people are. Not even know who those people are, who they know.
Mm.
That's always, I'm like nice to everybody. That's one thing about me I've learned too, is that people are like, you're so friendly. It's like I talk to the waiters at the restaurant. I'm like, I'm cool with everybody. You know what I'm saying? I talk, people remember me. Because again, they may be a McDonald's worker or whatever, but who they cousin? Who they best friend? You know what I'm saying? Like, you just don't know who somebody knows. Mm-hmm. And that's, again, that relationship currency is super important. It's because they may not seem important, don't mean who they know is not important.
That's a bar. That's a bar.
But no.
Real gems.
No, so, I hate that word. It's so overly used. I don't
it is overly used.
Yeah. That so, gems is not. Don't so, put me in that category with them people who use that word every day.
So I kind of want to get into, I want to get into, like, you know, wrapping up the pod. Before we get into your
favorite question,
I have a few questions. I have a few questions that I actually came up with myself.
Oh, okay.
So, you know, since this is Black Wealth Renaissance, one of the first questions I want to ask you is, are you frugal or are you a flexer?
I'm definitely frugal. Super frugal. Mm-hmm. Like, I am not, anyone knows me, I'm not a name brand person. I shop at Burlington, TJ Maxx, and Shein, and Boohoo Man. That's where all my clothes come from. Do I have closets full in my house? Yes, they full of them. But what people would pay to flex on, like, a Gucci or Balenciaga or something, I can get a whole closet full of stuff with that one shirt that they paid for or whatever. Mm-hmm. So I'm definitely very, very frugal. But I've learned a long time ago that I'm going to be me, period. I don't care. I can look better than whoever got on all this name brand stuff because I'm just going to be me. I'm going to wear it how I wear it. So I'm definitely very, very frugal. I set up a budget for myself a long time ago, and people think it's crazy, but this is actually true. For shoes, I think I told y'all before too. Anything I don't for
$100,
it's $50.
Oh, okay.
I don't buy shoes over $50. Boots, sneakers, any of that under $50 is my thing. Now I have two pairs of shoes that are my one is my workout shoe, one is my event shoe. That's like because I'm on my feet a lot. Those are like $150, but all these my normal clothes and shoes, $50. Now, if it's a suit, $150 is my max for a suit.
$150 to pay for the whole suit?
Pay for the whole suit. Because tailoring
and stuff too?
That's just the cost of the suit.
Okay.
So you can buy a cheap suit, but once it's tailored,
it looks
good. You know what I'm saying? So that's that. And then like for pants, $50, shirts, $25. I don't spend more than $25 for a shirt. That's what I said. This shirt is H&M, it's probably $12. I go to Burlington, buy shirts all the time. Again, so yeah, I'm not a flexer at all. I think it's just ignorant. I'm like, people be flexing, be broke. That's like, I don't get that. Like,
let's talk about it. we talk about this shit all the time, bro. Niggas really love wearing their wealth. Like, I think it's something about Black people. I really feel like it's the historical lack of, like, history.
Validation.
Like, Black people don't come from people typically who have money. So we think that if we have it, we have to show it.
Yeah.
And this is the only way to show we have money.
I ain't gonna say I always like that because in high school, because people be like, you know, comments, whatever. I did. I was a person in high school, you know, so my mother could get us. So she had a shopping problem. And I definitely had, when Jordans would come out back in the day, every week I had the new ones. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? I wore Gucci and all that back in the day. I think when I got my own money and started paying stuff for myself and realized how much stuff costs, that's when I made that transition. Mm-hmm. And I don't think, I think it's not even a matter of, like I said, we like to wear our wealth. It's just a matter of what we're shown. Unfortunately, you know what I'm saying, there aren't too many Black leaders. People look up to these athletes, rappers, you know, entertainers, whatever they said, whole thing. And these people have it. You know what I'm saying? But they
and that's a part of the image as well.
As I'm saying. So they're mimicking what they see. So if whoever these rappers are, I don't know their names, but if they had it, they think they should have it. And that's the problem. I think I say once we change who we look up to as a community, then I think that'll change as well.
Yeah. I just need the culture to stop loving fucking scat packs. Stop getting the scat pack, my nigga. You got a 28% interest rate because your credit bad. Stop.
Yeah. I agree. All that type of, like I said, certain stuff, I just wouldn't. If somebody gave me that vehicle, I just wouldn't. It's too identifiable with a certain type of individual that's just like, no, you couldn't give me that car or give me certain things. Yeah,
okay,
me
personally. So I got two more questions.
But I'm very frugal. Very frugal.
Okay, so you're frugal.
I spend money a lot, but frugal.
Second,
that's crazy.
How are you building wealth for your future?
So right now, I would say this is my getting back to a zero playing field right now year. Because again, from those 2 years of not having anything, again, I wasn't prepared. Most people are not prepared to go, you know, saying a week, let alone a year and a half, 2 years. So I'm going to be honest. A lot of stuff I had to let it go with God and say, fuck it, I can't pay it. You know what I'm saying? So, and it was, again, I had buildings, I had equipment. There's a lot of stuff that I had in my name that I just had to be like, you know, whatever. So now it's digging myself out of debt this year. So, and I'm thank the Lord that it's been a, so far it's been a really good year for my event company and stuff like that, where I have been able to, you know, almost be done with, because I had like credit card, you know, like when you business credit card, all this stuff. I just had so much money, you know, in debt that, you know, you think, oh, you get to it, you get to it. But I'm like, I couldn't pay it. So it's part of my whole depression stuff was thinking about, oh my God, I got all these bills that I have to pay and I just couldn't pay it. And then I said again, I'm like, okay, the bill gonna whip my ass. What's the bill gonna do? You know what I'm saying?
Like, they ain't pulling up in my crib.
They ain't pulling on. Yeah, my credit score gonna be shot, you know what I'm saying, to death.
Fix that.
But I can fix it at some point. You know what I'm saying? So I just let it all go. Like I said, is it like almost $100,000+ in debt? Oh, absolutely. You know what I'm saying? So that's my thing this year. So once I get that on, you know, together, then it's like we marching in an arena of wealth. I'm not one of those people who have, you know, saying all these years mapped out. I'm definitely not that person. I'm like a year at a time type of person, you know what I'm saying? Because I think that's what had me so bad in the stress world and where I had a mental breakdown, because I was just mapping out my life too far in advance. So, and I'm like sticking to these ungodly expectations on myself. Okay, when I'm here, I need to be here. When I'm at this age, I need to be da-da-da-da. And that's just like so much pressure and stress for me. So now I'm just a year in advance. This is my goal for 2022. We, you know, check, check, check. If I didn't do this year, add it to the 2023 goals. And that's what I do. So I'm not one of those who push out 50 years. I know that may sound bad to some, but that's just how I live my life.
I appreciate the transparency about that. Even like with you speaking on the debt situation, because we talked about this with Tim. In our community, debt is like such a taboo thing. It's like whenever we talk about entrepreneurship, that's another one of those rose-colored glasses type topics that people kind of do. Whenever you pursuing some of these things and things get hard, sometimes you end up taking on debt. You end up in debt.
Like, I had to use credit cards to fund my life for a long time. When I was like, this was 10 years. You know, so every year in my event world was not a good year. You know what I'm saying? So it's been years that I have a Discover card that sued me because it's like $50,000+. So that credit card was literally my only source of income.
You sued me over $6,000.
It was $50,000. So that's my only source of income for probably like 8 months. And again, being whatever I was and people expecting me to be successful, I'm still acting like I got money. And that's the problem. I'm still taking trips. I'm still going to dinners. I'm using this credit card that is my only source of income to make. And that's the thing, too, about, and I learned about myself, too, about other people. People, like, ask you, how are you doing? How's your business doing? Oh, we good. No, the fuck we're not. We're drowning over here. But you'd be so embarrassed to say that. I said, because we have created these utopias of bullshit where we believe that as soon as you start business, you're going to be successful. And it's like, no, there's ups and then there's downs. And then it's the hardest part for people to acknowledge is when you're up and then you go down, like it's hard for you to tell people that you're down. And that's why I said, again, they have racked up their credit cards because I couldn't be honest with myself, let alone with other people, be like, you know what? I'm broke. I haven't done an event in a very long time. And it's like, people like, how you doing? I'm doing good. Oh, we doing real good. We good. But it's like exterior. People think I'm good because I'm still dressing the way. I'm still going on trips. People, my friends who make money, I'm there, you know, going to brunches, going to whatever, swiping this credit card. And that's why I got $50,000+ on Discover card with a judgment. And the crazy part about the judgment is that my court date was during the time I was in the mental hospital. So I couldn't even go to court because I was on a 10-day mandatory hold at the mental hospital. So they did a default judgment and the judge didn't care that I was in the mental hospital. Right. So that taught me a lesson too about all that as well. But yeah.
Okay, last question. Do you have life insurance?
Yes. So I've been in life insurance because my best friend passed away from leukemia at 21. We was in college. So I learned then at that point, everybody has a different situation when you learn when, hey, we're not meant to live until we're old. You know, it don't matter. We can die today. So great, brilliant person, nice person, all the above, but our senior year of college, leukemia, and died from that. So when he passed away, I got life insurance. I have $2 million on me. Yeah.
Okay, good, nigga.
Yeah. So and a lot of other.
Y'all better not try to off my nigga.
Nah. We ain't doing none of that.
And my mom is a sole beneficiary right now. And then she'd be happy for that. She would be happy,
She wouldn't be happy, man.
I think she would rather her son than the mother.
Right. But like I said, I told people, like, I was my funeral festival, because it wouldn't be a typical funeral, it would be several hundreds of thousands.
This nigga probably got to run a show written for his funeral.
That's some crazy shit.
It's
that is some crazy shit.
It's funny, because I want it, because if I swear to God, anybody who put a rest in peace t-shirt with my face on it, literally, you should be shot to kill right there. Because
I
why?
You so you can come back at home.
I say all that. Well, you go to you you shot and kill and go to hell. Because why are you wearing a rest in peace t-shirt?
You don't want the airbrush?
Absolutely not. I would roll over my grave so many times I would just fall out. Just like, don't do it.
But
don't
even do it. Just to get more on that life insurance tip, I think it's super important. Like you said, you got somebody might hear $2 million and be like, man, that's a lot of coverage, but you own a house.
Yeah, it depends on what you have too.
You have a business, other bills. You have businesses. So this life insurance is not just to be like, oh, this is for my funeral.
Right.
This is to take care of and make sure that if I'm no longer here,
stuff can still operate.
Is taken care of.
Yeah, and that's what it is, and that's why I had that much, because those things can continue to operate in my absence. Excuse me. Well, my presence, I'll still be there, but my absence, I'll be still over people's shoulder all the time.
So now I get to ask you my favorite question. Okay. Jay, I like your three questions, but you got to keep them
up.
I like them.
Hey, man, I told you, I'm here to win championships, baby.
Yeah, he can't win it this time. He said he coming, for the W.
He's going to keep it.
So he said, all right, I'll come with it.
All right, Will. So my favorite question, and you kind of maybe answered it a bit.
I probably did.
What is a personal finance tip or principle that you live by that you would like to share with our audience?
That's a good question. I think budgeting. Budgeting is a big one. I have probably 6 different accounts, from business, personal, so all of them have a different purpose. Mm-hmm. So I'm really big with making sure that I keep different buckets and different things. So like, I use a credit card for everything, for all my, purchases, whatever. And I have one account just used to pay off that credit card every time. And I'm definitely a believer in that. Like I said, after going through what I went through with Discover, thank the Lord that Capital One even gave me a credit card. Because being sued for $50,000, it's one thing. But I believe in that whole thing of paying off the credit card at the statement date. Mm-hmm. So I just do that. So I have one account just used for that. And then, one account for this particular. Usually I have about 4 or 5 events running at the same time. So I try to keep their,
funds
in some separate type of accounts. And then my own, personal account. I'm going to be honest too, because I barely keep any money in my personal accounts because I don't know if Discover is trying to garnish my wages. So I keep everything in my business account. So like if Discover try to garnish my wages, because you can't touch my business account. So it's like my personal account may have $100 max at a time in there, because you won't, if you garnish, you're getting $100. But these business accounts, Lord Jesus, if they garnish those, but they can't because it's in my business name. So I'm just saying that's why. Keep it all separate.
Separate.
And get a business account, people. Get a business account if you have a business, but just get accounts. Like this day of Cash App stuff and
Cash App, Kathy's, and Venmo, Veronica.
Yeah, just like, just get you a bank account. And I understand the complexities of you had issues before and stuff like that, but just clean that stuff up. Clean up those charge off accounts and your stuff. Just get a real account. And I'm amazed that, going back to the sponsorship question you mentioned, that there's people I know who work in these departments of sponsorships. They'd be like, they're ready to fund, pity dollars, $1,000, $2,000. And then people will be like, hey, can you Cash App it to me? How do you go to a corporation? Right. How do you go to a Chase or whatever, GM Financial, whatever type of company is going to sponsor your event, and ask them to Cash App you?
Yeah, that's crazy.
The sponsorship money. And this is like no joke. This happens. People think, our people believe that Cash App is like the way. No one's going to, a reputable company is not going to pay you in Cash App.
Cash App don't have no direct deposit. It does it? I don't know.
I think they do have direct deposit now. I don't know.
There ain't no bank account.
But you can't like ACH it or something like that. So
you can't
it's
do
like,
that.
Yeah. Huh?
I say you cannot do that.
Right, that's what I'm saying. That's what a lot of companies and stuff do, ACH payments, whatever. I'm sure they'll talk about that and some of what that means. But yeah, my background is in banking. But yeah, it's just that. So just get your stuff together, people. But we're going to teach you because I have a festival coming up. And
yes, talk about it.
So I have a festival coming up in Detroit in April 2023. It's called We Are Dope Fest. So DOPE stands for Doing Our Part Through educating, empowering, and entertaining. So we talk about all this stuff again about how do we make sure we become financially literate individuals, and how do we make sure that it's entertaining? Like we mentioned before, we don't have leaders, so we use athletes, entertainers. So for Dope, I understand all that. We use these people to teach you those components. So we entertain you by the performances, but then we get in those conversations to get those nuggets. So stay tuned for that. They're actually on my board.
Yes, sir.
For Dope. But that's coming. Like I said again, we are, and speaking of like sponsorships like that too, that's been a great way of actually pulling in some pretty big sponsors for that as well.
Man, Dope Fest is going to be crazy, yeah, bro. Dope I already Fest know is it's about to be crazy. Insane. Like April 2023, I don't know whenever we're going to put tickets on sale, but you're going to hear about it if you're listening to the podcast. But I promise y'all, this is not one y'all want to miss out on.
Y'all don't want to miss this.
The vision he painted for me, this was the first
time. Not even the vision that he painted. He actually showed us renderings. I was like, yo.
And that's what I mean, like, doing that sponsorship packet. Like, say it again. Like, say, remember, we had talked to a financial institution, one of the big ones. And they mentioned, like, this is the best deck they've ever seen. And some of these companies get decks, a sponsorship deck, you know what I'm saying, all the time. But it's like, I put so much work. This is a concept, right? There's no proven track record or history. But it's like, I knew that. So I had to make sure I show renderings. Again, I had to make sure I did my homework to make sure this. I couldn't just do some half-assed deck. I had to put the renderings in. That's what's so important. So I paid some money for those renderings to make sure that the potential sponsors can see the vision that I had. I can't just be talking about it. Oh, I got a vision, but I had to be able to see it. Mm-hmm. So yeah, that's the part. That's an important thing. Take your time with these sponsorship decks. Make sure that they are thorough and that you are always focused on what is the sponsor getting. Again, just their logo on something, that does, those days is dead. They want to talk in front of your people. They want to have a role where they can speak directly to the target audience. And then again, it fit their initiatives that they have for that year. This has been fun,
we're
gentlemen.
We're going to call it gyms. We're going to call it game. We're going to just say it's game. That's more game from Will. You don't like game either?
I got something that's going to be
nuggets.
Coin.
He likes nuggets.
Yeah, I think nuggets is cool. I'm cool with nuggets. I like nuggets as well. Regular nuggets. So I'm a chicken nugget.
You're a chicken nugget version?
I like a chicken nugget.
Well, man, Will, I want to...
I like a chicken nugget.
Do look like a chicken nugget.
I'm not playing with y'all, but Will, bro,
I want to like a chicken nugget.
Cut the cameras. Cut the cameras.
I want to say thank you so much for opening up your home to us, bro.
Yes, sir.
Doing this episode with us.
Only you. Jalen's not welcome my home anymore, okay? He devalues the property, okay? As soon as we walked in, the neighbor said, what's going on? Our property values are declining. It's the niggas that come to the good area.
That's a bet. I remember that.
You're devaluing
the neighborhood. Don't invite me to shit over here again.
Devaluing the neighborhood.
Okay. I can't deal with you niggas. Will,
ahead,
for all the people who want to follow you, I know you said you be iffy about who you that follow you on social media.
You know, like I said, you can follow me at BWR. Say no. What's that? Fuck. But no, my social media is SirForth, S-I-R, the number 4, O-U-R-T-H is my personal, and then SirForth _ events is my event company. Both, I never really post. So like I said, we gotta do better on that though.
Man, look, you ain't gotta do better, cause like that social media shit is great for what it's good for. But if you don't need social media to operate, I don't think.
Yeah, like I post stories. I'm a story poster on my personal.
Yeah, y'all catch him on Sundays. He's dropping his fit on there.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah, we do that. Like I said,
tapping
again,
his toe at the church as well.
Yeah, but most of my clients are corporate. Yeah. So like I said, they not looking for my Instagram to book me for that. Like I said, if I did personal events, you know, baby showers, weddings, stuff like that, then for sure. But I don't do those type of events. I do them for the right price. Let me say that. So I have done a wedding for like $1.3 million budget. But that was in Seattle. That was a,
Okay, big flex.
Big money talk.
Big flexer.
Big money talk.
Yeah, and that 15% was nice on that budget. Yeah.
Okay, big flex.
Again, Will.
This has been fun, though. So this is well overdue. We need to do this again weekly.
Thank you, bro. We're going to hop into some house cleaning items before we get up out of here. As always, thank you for tapping into the Black Wealth Renaissance podcast. We appreciate you listening week in and week out. Like my brother Jalen letting y'all know, y'all make sure y'all leave us that 5-star rating and review and share this with somebody that you know can benefit from it. Hey,
also, if you're watching this on YouTube, hit that little noty bell. Yeah. Subscribe. Make sure you tap in weekly as well.
Yeah. And look, y'all, we in a motherfucking recession. It's official. Ain't no more ifs, ands, or
buts. Big Romy say he don't give a damn. Yeah, what the hell got to happen?
They
he fighting this
month,
inflation.
We about to probably bump the federal funds rate up. I ain't about to get into all that shit. The interest rates keep rising. Inflation is a problem. And right now, more than ever, it's important that you taking care of your personal finances. Mm-hmm. So what we at BWR are doing, we started the Stack Summer Challenge. To be a part of Stack Summer, man, we out here, we focus on our health, our wealth, and just getting our shit together. Because right now is more crucial than ever to save your money to invest. So if Facts. You take the word stack to 337-455-7778, you'll be part of the Stack Summer Challenge.
You'll get daily and weekly texts that'll help you stay on target, stay on task, stay encouraged throughout this challenge.
How much have you stacked so far?
How much have I stacked mm-hmm. so far? 2,500.
How much have you stacked so far?
Nigga, I'm still digging out the hole. So I stacked $800 right now.
Okay, it's only been getting, summer ain't really started yet. Yeah, summer started 2 days ago.
It's still like I told myself.
My goal is 10,000.
My goal is 5,000 for the summer. Two more checks from the IA job and I should start having some, like, okay, nigga, you making some progress now. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. But we in this thing together. That's the point of it. Stack Summer, like I mentioned to you, look, our situations ain't always perfect.
Yep.
We pursued entrepreneurship, ended up accruing some personal debts. Guess what? Now we on the same journey with y'all. Y'all join us.
Yes, sir. I ain't got nothing else to say.
I ain't got nothing either.
You know, I have a couple of things I'm just talking about.
Well, on that note, y'all, this is Black Wealth Renaissance signing out.
Peace.
And so forth.
Hey there. Ever thought about what makes your heart beat a little faster?
Oh, you mean like when you discover a new track that just speaks to you?
Yeah, or finding a movie that you can't stop thinking about? Well, get ready to feel that excitement all over again because Amazon Prime is here to take your entertainment and shopping experience to the next level.
Absolutely. Prime isn't just about getting your packages quicker. It's about diving into a world of endless possibilities, from the latest releases to exclusive content you won't find anywhere else.
And don't even get me started on the music. Prime offers concert specials that will transport you right to the front room. It's like being at the hottest gigs without leaving your living room.
I use Prime to tap in with some of my favorite artists' live shows from any and every genre of music.
Trust me, Prime is a game changer. It's like having a personalized superstore and entertainment hub right at your fingertips.
So why wait? Head over to Amazon.com/Prime and start experiencing entertainment like never before.